I am joined by my fellow banterer, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So we are now, as we have talked about almost ad nauseum, the streaming services coming onto the field of play. But let us talk about the different models that are being tried. Netflix came up with the binge. And I think the binge, when Netflix was by itself in the world, the binge was something that was buzzy and cool and nobody had seen. And it was a phenomenon. Now everybody's getting in the game. Disney Plus, Warner has HBO Max, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are various approaches to figuring out what is the best way to go. Disney Plus, for example, is not going to drop, you know, The Mandalorian, its Star Wars show, is not dropping it all at once. It's dropping it one a week. And the idea for that, obviously, is they do not want people like me, perhaps, or people who are even more avid Star Wars fans, to binge the heck out of it and then say, well, that was cool, and now I don't need to pay $7 a month anymore.
Yeah, this is the strategy. And I think everybody is trying out and experimenting with what might work for them. You see Apple TV Plus, their service, they're trying a mix. Certain things, like The Morning Show, they dropped 3 episodes and then it was weekly. And some of the other series, like this Emily Dickinson show, they dropped all of them at once. And I think that they're trying to figure out what their viewers like while trying to keep people in this ecosystem. Because unlike with your cable and satellite provider, where you had to have someone come to the house and you had a big clunky box and, you know, unsubscribing was kind of a hassle, these streaming services, you can turn them on and off with a few clicks of your phone. So they've really got to create this habit where you just have these services part of your life and are accustomed to paying for them. And the way to do that, in this theory, is to keep people waiting for another episode week after week.
Yeah, in case of Warner's HBO Max, for example, Kevin Reilly, the chief creative officer, said, hey, you can watch all the old stuff you want and binge it, but if it's the new stuff, no. Now, interestingly, we had Rich Greenfield, the Wall Street analyst, on our show a few weeks ago, and he was trying to explain why picking and choosing among the streaming services would not bankrupt us after we were so excited about not having to have a bunch of stuff forced on us by a cable bundle. And one of his arguments was, hey, it's so easy to click in and out of these things. You can subscribe and unsubscribe, just as you were saying, Matt, and it's easy. But at the same time, he has offered the opinion that binging is pro-consumer and hard to move away from. So basically, he's saying, binging, you got to do it, guys. You got to give people the opportunity to binge these shows. But by the way, it's so easy to cancel. So consumers, go ahead and do that.
Well, it's easy for Rich Greenfield to say that. He doesn't run an actual media company where you've got to, you know, build your subscriber base quarter after quarter or else your stock tanks. And I think if Disney is going to try to get to some of these lofty subscriber goals, anywhere between 60 million and 90 million in the next 5 years, they've got to amass this big subscriber group. And the way you do that is to keep people interested. So I understand why they're doing this weekly model. But, you know, Netflix has had a lot of success building their own subscriber base with dropping all episodes at once. And when you ask Ted Sarandos, the chief creative officer of Netflix, he says that he gets frustrated with the HBO shows he loves because he wants to watch all the episodes of Succession and he can't. But then you ask HBO and they say, no, we love the fact that everybody was talking about Succession for 2 months and it was just a giant media cycle for us where we dominated and got people interested and kept them interested. And you don't get that when you drop all episodes at once.
As a reporter who has access sometimes to a lot of episodes, and Succession is a specific example, you know, HBO gave them to me. And as much as I do enjoy that show, I chose to wait because I wanted to be in the conversation when other people were in the conversation. And I found it just more relaxing to sit down and watch it in its time instead of gobbling them all up. Now, very few people I think would hold off like that. And I was tempted myself, but it is more fun to be that kind of communal experience is really rare now in entertainment. And I think it's just more fun. So I have to disagree with Ted Sarandos about that.
Well, we're seeing it right now with the Star Wars show, The Mandalorian. You know, these episodes are dropping on Friday, and over the weekend, you're seeing this whole conversation online about Baby Yoda and, you know, what's going on with that show. And that is just free advertising for Disney Plus. And I'm sure they had this all planned out when they knew they had this idea for Baby Yoda. That's the biggest ambassador for Disney Plus that they could have.
And of course, you know, for some of these companies, that this is their business. It's maybe less imperative, like Amazon has added on their streaming stuff basically to Amazon Prime. And I would be an Amazon Prime subscriber without Mrs. Maisel. So, you know, but they think that it helps. But if you're Amazon, if you're Apple, it's not so imperative. Meanwhile, you know, I'm just going to touch on the Oscar race. We haven't talked about it at all. And it's been mushy, very, very mushy. And, you know, I feel like people were sort of waiting, like, is this the one? Is this the one? Because often, as we've talked about in years past, there's something that emerges and it just has the mark of destiny. I mean, we knew for months that, for example, going back years, Lord of the Rings, third installment, was almost absolutely sure going to win Best Picture, and it did. This has not been that kind of year. We haven't had that kind of year in recent years, really. I mean, last year with Green Book, my God. But 1917, which is a film that didn't play the festivals and just was dropped by Universal, this is Sam Mendes's film. It's shot to look like one shot. It's World War I. This thing played, and now all of a sudden, everybody's kind of swooning over it.
And when you say they dropped it into the race, it wasn't because this was some strategic move. Sam Mendes said he finished the film 6 days before it premiered in New York this past week. And it really was just a race to get this movie out. And that sometimes happens in the Oscar race. I remember that with The Big Short. I remember that with some of the Clint Eastwood films, where these films open, do the festivals, you know, win Cannes, and all these Oscar movies are positioned. And then something comes along and just becomes the belle of the ball late in the race. And that may be happening this year. But I actually like the fact that this year, like the previous few years, there really is no preordained Best Picture winner. And there are plausibly 5, 6, 7 films that could walk away with it. And that's, at least that's from my perspective as someone who covers this Oscar race pretty closely, it's much more exciting when there isn't a clear front runner.
Yeah, there isn't a preordained winner. I mean, from the Academy's point of view, of course, is what they want is a commercial movie. And Joker is still something that people think could be in contention. There's often a feeling, I know people who deliberately want to keep a movie under the radar and let it open kind of now, late in the year, because they want this feeling that the Academy is discovering something, that it's not just this menu that you've already seen, but look, here's a surprise entree. And that may be, whether Sam Mendes did it on purpose or not, what happens with 1917 is too soon to say.
Yeah, and you know, there are some of these films that Netflix has put in theaters, but will then debut on the service in December. I know Irishman is out over the Thanksgiving weekend, and you know, Marriage Story is coming later in December. And I think there may be a little bit of a sense of discovery for some people who haven't seen those films in theaters. But everything from Jojo Rabbit, which won the Toronto Audience Award, to this South Korean film Parasite, which won the Cannes Film Festival, to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was a big hit for Quentin Tarantino this summer, and he's an Academy favorite, to even A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is the Mr. Rogers film that's getting good notice right now. I mean, there's a lot of these movies that could sneak in there and win Best Picture, and it'd be interesting to see once these year-end critics groups start to weigh in, and then the SAG Awards, the Golden Globes. We're just now getting into the heart of it.
Yes, all of that, and let's not forget Cats. Who knows? Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter.